We've slightly shortened this morning's reading. So we're reading from 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, but we're going to start at verse 24 and we're going to read to 27. And that can be found on page 1151 of the Red Bibles. So 1151 of the Red Bibles. And I guess maybe it might not come up behind us. Okay, verse 24. The need for self-discipline. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer, beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's pray together, shall we, before we think about those words together. Father, we thank you so much today for your word to us. It's such a gift, and we're so appreciative that we're free together this morning to gather around it. Help us to learn from you, our teacher and Lord, this morning. Amen. Well, a few years ago, I don't know if I've mentioned this or not, I ran the London Marathon. Of course I mentioned it. Mention it whenever I can. Humbly, of course. And so a few years ago, I was preparing to run the London Marathon. I had a terrible calf injury. And every time I went out, it sort of seemed to just get worse and worse. And so on the advice of a friend, I went to see a sports physiotherapist who was going to give me a sports massage. And I've never had a sports massage before, but all images of kind of candles and whale music soon disappeared. They are the most painful things. I limped out of that place in a worse state than I went in. It was horrendous. But actually, eventually, he'd got to work on my calf muscle, and it got a lot better. And the advice that this lovely man gave me was, after each run, you need to fill a bin with water and just go and stand in the bin for a bit. Cold water in the garden. I was talking to someone about ice baths yesterday, and so maybe you can relate to this. And so I thought, well, I really want to do this. So I went and I filled up a bin with cold water, and the training was taking place over the winter. And so that water just got colder and colder. And after each run, I would go and diligently stand in the bin for 10 minutes. And as it got colder, sometimes you had to break the ice off the top to get in there. I remember one morning I'd been out early, and it was pouring with rain. It was freezing cold, and I got back and I went out, and the bin was just outside our kitchen window, and I remember vividly standing there in this bin and Susie inside in a dressing gown with a breakfast. She was like, hiya. Actually, I think she made me a bacon sandwich that morning, which is why I didn't do very well in the marathon, because, you know, there we go. But why on earth was I doing that? Why was I standing in freezing temperatures, breaking ice, to stand in a bin for 10 minutes? Well, I had a goal, and I had to prepare for it, and I was determined to do it and do it as best as I possibly could. And so for you do ridiculous things like that. We heard in that reading, Paul said, my body takes a blow so that I might get to what I want to get to. That's exactly what was going on in that moment. That's the end of my heroic sporting stories, you'll be pleased to hear. But this morning we start our series on sport life, which is something, really an idea that came from the kids' groups, that we wanted to spend a few weeks using that great metaphor of sport to help us think about our Christian life and our life out there in the world and how we engage with God and how we engage with others. And so over these next few weeks, we're thinking about preparation. We're thinking about sportsmanship, about winning, about losing, about competition, and about perseverance. And unlike the young people, we're not going to the park each morning for a kick around. I know that will please some of you and disappoint others, but we won't be doing that. But we're going to be using that great analogy to help us engage with God's word for us. And whether you like sports or not, I encourage you to use this time to really engage with what God might want to say to you over these next few weeks. Of course, it is such a rich metaphor in the New Testament. You'll see a few verses come up on the screen now. The writer to the Hebrews says this: let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Paul, when he's writing to the Galatians, talks about his own Christian ministry as running the race, and he says to the Galatians, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? And to remind you of the reading we just heard, Paul says to the Corinthians, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get that prize." You'll see those verses cropping up, I'm sure, over the next few weeks as we think about these themes together. But this morning, our focus is preparation. And I hope that whilst we think about preparation, that this Sunday serves as preparation for this next few weeks, that we prepare ourselves for what God wants to do in us and say to us over these next few weeks. So in terms of preparation, here's some wisdom from the world. Benjamin Franklin says, "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail." Abraham Lincoln says, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I'll spend the first 4 sharpening the axe." Thomas Edison says, "Success is when opportunity meets preparation." Will Smith, an amazingly talented guy, says this about himself, "I've always considered myself to be just average talent, but what I have is a ridiculous, insane obsessiveness for practice and preparation." H. Jackson Brown, the author, "The best preparation for tomorrow is doing your best today." And Alan Armstrong, also an author, says, "Champions do not become champions when they win the event, but in the hours, weeks, months, and years they spend preparing for it." And a final one, I really like this. This guy's an old baseball player from many moons ago. And he said, "You win some, you lose some, and some get rained out, but you got to suit up for them all." I love that. Actually, whatever happens on the field, you get ready every time to give your best. And I like this as well. Let's have a look, Callum. "If it's raining, we're still training." Fantastic. This week marks the start of the Salisbury Park Run. So every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock in Churchill Gardens, if you want to go for a 5K run, you can. And I hope to see you down there. I'll be there with a cup of tea to watch you. So it's really, really good. And a bacon sandwich. Thank you. That's very kind. Yeah. Brown sauce. Thanks. So with these athletes and these sports teams, if you can click on, please, Callum, we have a clear idea what they're preparing for. Just a reminder that the Brits can win some stuff historically. And with Bobby Moore and Mo Farah and Jess Ennis, we know what they're preparing for. They want to win. They want that gold medal. They want that trophy. And so they put in the work accordingly. There's the goal. Here's the preparation for how we get there. But for us as Christians, what do we prepare for? What's the goal for us? What does it mean to win as a Christian? Well, we'll be thinking about winning in a few weeks' time, so I don't want to go too much into that, but what do we have as our aims and goals as Christians? Well, I expect there'd be a whole range of answers to that question, and in some ways, as many as are present today could perhaps give a different answer, because we might have different specific things that we feel a real drive towards achieving in our Christian lives. Maybe it is to get to know God more. Maybe it's to be more prayerful. Maybe there's bits of the Bible you're really aiming to read. Maybe there are character traits that you're aiming to do better with, like patience or generosity or showing grace. Maybe it's on your heart to set up a charity or become a missionary or to serve God in any kinds of ways. Maybe it's to get to church more. Maybe it's to raise your kids in a more intentional way than you're currently doing. We'll have a whole range of things which are very valid, okay, right goals as Christians. And we need to think, how do we prepare ourselves to meet those goals? But there's a goal which I think underpins all of those verses that we talked about in the New Testament and unites all of us. For all our separate goals, there's one goal which we're going to focus on this morning, which is our goal, whoever we are, wherever we are serving God. This is the goal that unites us. And it's best summed up by Paul as he writes to his young apprentice, Timothy. If we can see it, please, Callum. He says, "Train yourselves for godliness." It's not something that just happens to you. You have to train yourself for it. And that is true of any Christian in any sphere of influence, of any age, of any denomination, of any persuasion. That's something we're all called to. If we are allowed an ambition as Christians, it's to become more like Jesus. So whether we think of godliness or Christ-likeness, it's the same thing. That's what I want us to think about. Are we training ourselves for godliness? Now, God loves us in an instant, and he forgives us in an instant, and he shows grace to us in an instant. Every time we turn to him in confession, he pours out his forgiveness. When we ask that he'll fill us with his spirit, he fills us with his spirit. When we turn to him, he saves us. That's not something we earn. And please don't mishear us over the next few weeks. We're not using the sport analogy to say we somehow earn God's affection or win his love for us or his grace. That's his gift to us. We don't earn it. We don't strive for it. We turn towards it and it's given to us. What great news is that this morning? Maybe you don't know that news today. If you don't know that news today, I'd encourage you to at the very least think about whether that might just be true. That you don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to strive for it. It's his gift to you. But there is something about training. So we don't train in order that God loves us. But part of our salvation, part of the big picture of what God wants to do in our lives is to help us to become more godly, to change and transform the way we live our lives, the way we think, the things that we do, the way we spend our time and our money. And that's not a process that happens in an instant. So God's forgiveness is instant. And then there's a lifelong process of growing more and more like Jesus. And it's a process that is a partnership between our own will, our desire for that to happen, and our commitment to it happening, and God's Holy Spirit. Both, you can't take one out of the equation of that. And so as we think about preparation today, I want us just to ask the very simple question, are we on the move in that race? Are we making the steps? It's not about how fast you're going, actually. Those scriptures never talk about the speed you go at. They just talk about being on the move. Or have we kind of stopped? Or are we not even in that race at the moment? A few of those sporty verses to help us think about that. The writer to the Hebrews says to his audience and to us as well, throw off every sin that hinders and the sins that entangle and run the race. Of course, it would be crazy to try and run a race in a situation like this guy where we're sort of held back and tied up in knots. You never see anyone trying to compete like that. And Paul says, for some of you, you're trying to run and actually you're stuck in a state of the things that you do wrong. And there's maybe a specific sin which is tripping you over. Maybe there's a whole mindset which is stopping you from running the race, for being part of this brilliant process of becoming more and more godly and more like the people he wants us to be, and it's just hindering you and slowing you down. And maybe it's something that you're really conscious of, maybe you kind of just realize, wow, yeah, that's happened. I didn't even see it happening, but it's happened. I remember being a youth worker and talking about this passage with a group of young people, asking them a very similar question. And one of the girls said, yeah, I've started the race, and the race is great, and I know it's right. She said, the trouble is, there's an ice cream van over in the corner, and I keep getting distracted, and I keep stopping running because there's an ice cream van there, and I want to go and have an ice cream, and then I kind of go back and start the race again. It's a helpful analogy. For me, that ice cream van follows me around the track. It's not a case of, oh, I can sort of see it in the distance. It's like an ever-present temptation to veer off and do something different. And, you know, imagine that ice cream van with its innocent, playful, tempting tune always there saying, come and do something different with your life. I've got a whole stack of goodies here that you'll love. Terrible for you, but you'll love it. And we're tempted always, aren't we, to do that. Or maybe we're in a state where, to just go with the ice cream analogy a bit longer, we've thought, well, we'll go and grab the ice cream, but we know we're meant to be running, and we try and do both. Maybe this afternoon you want to go and have an ice cream and see how far you can run with it. Not very far. Sooner or later, one will win, the ice cream or the running. The likelihood is you will stop to finish the ice cream and realize that you're not where you needed to be. You're way back from where you wanted to be. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles. What's crept in to stop you living that life that you know is right, that you know you were passionate about? What's slowing you down at the moment? Or we throw it off by confessing it and being resolute about not picking it up again. And we're going to have some chance for ministry today. Maybe that's what you need to do in ministry, just to say sorry for that. And God gets you free of it. He sets you free from it. Well, maybe that's not the issue for you as you think about the race. Maybe for you, it's more that, like when Paul said to the Galatian church, who has cut in on you and stopped you? And if we look at this next picture, this is Zola Bird. No, is it Zola Bird? I don't know who it is. Before my time. Running around, but there's an incident where we see it, don't we, in athletics, jostling for position, and someone tries to cut in from the outside to the inside, and legs get tangled up, and people hit the deck. And that's the analogy Paul uses here. You were running, and it was fine, but someone has cut in on you and stopped you in your tracks. I wonder if anyone has cut in on you in your living for God. Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe it's a disappointment. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe it's a general apathy and it's just cut in and it's floored you. And you're wondering what's happened to that race that you were running. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're just really upset. Maybe there's genuine not to be belittled pain in your life and it has cut in on you. It came from nowhere and it stopped you running. And you know you want to be running, but you sort of feel injured on the track at the moment. And again, in ministry, why not come and ask God to come and heal that hurt? To come and be part of that restoring process of getting you back on your feet. But maybe that's not the issue for you in terms of your running. Maybe it's more like this. The Hebrews passage says, you run the race that's marked out for you. There are parameters to the race for a start. Maybe you've kind of lost sight of those parameters and kind of, a bit like Paul kind of said, I don't want to run aimlessly. I don't want to be like a boxer beating the air, as if there's no sense of the rules of the race, of the parameters within which you're supposed to run. Maybe you've lost a bit of sense of the narrow path that God has called you to. Maybe you're trying to run someone else's race. Maybe you wish that your race was someone else's, that you kind of had a different path to choose in life and you'd gladly swap it. But actually, that's no good for you. Because there's a race marked out for you, for us as a church as well, but for you. And maybe it's time today to kind of say, I want to get back in the lane that God's called me to be in. Not that other lane where the pace doesn't work for me, but where God has called me to be. The good news this morning is that God isn't an angry coach high up in the stands, booming his voice down at you, telling you to get yourself back up and running. I think there's an urgency that God might want to have us here this morning, that we need to get back to it. But he's not an angry judge. He's not an angry coach who's a million miles away shouting at us. If we can flick on a couple, please, Callum, to the picture on the end. 1992, Barcelona Olympics. We've talked about this in church before. This guy's Derek Redmond. He was in the semi-final of the 400 metres, and he started off brilliantly. Went out of the blocks in an absolute, on a flyer. Was going great. Team GB, let's go, come on. Tearing around the track. All of a sudden, his hamstring goes. And he stops and he pulls up. And he hops along for a little bit, trying to keep going. And then he limps along. And then he collapses to the floor. And he's just lying there. And then he kind of staggers to his feet. And there's a figure that pushes past the Olympic officials and literally pushes them out of his way. Gets onto the track with his white socks pulled up almost to the middle of his thighs, jogs on, and he puts his arms around Derek, and he picks him up, and together they finish the race. It's Derek's dad. He wasn't going to see his son suffer like this. He wasn't going to watch it. He wasn't prepared to let that happen, and so he gets on the track with him. And my life as a Christian is loads more like Derek Redmond than anyone else, really. Like, there's bursts of energy, and it's going great, and you can feel the wind in your hair. You're like, yes, it's good. I'm doing okay, and it's exhilarating, and it's exciting to be doing what God wants you to do. And there are collapses where it just kind of seems to go wrong, and you find yourself on your face again, and it's slow. And other times, you're kind of limping along, and you're trying to get to the finish line, but always in need of our Father getting on the track with us and helping us. And that's the good news this morning. We're not called to be heroic in the sense that we can sort of help ourselves and finish the race, but we're called to do it with God and for God. And maybe that's the image you need in your head as you think about, in a moment we're going to pray, that actually you just need to, you're on the track, maybe you're lying down and you can't move, and it's not even for want of trying, you've been injured, someone's cut in on you, you're hurting, and you just need to invite the Father to lift you, to walk with you, to care for you. And so over these next few weeks, we'll be thinking about all these different ideas of sport. But we prepare today by thinking we just want to start moving again. That's where preparation begins for any event. You can't really do it just sat down doing nothing. The first step is to start moving again. And it's not without God's help. It's with his help. So I'd like to invite you to stand. Maybe start that process of getting up, getting moving. In a moment, we're going to worship together, but let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and do the things I've suggested that he might want to do this morning, to forgive us, to restore us, to set us back on track, to heal those hurts, to allow us to start running again, or maybe just to realize that none of this is to earn the love that he already has for us. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come by your Spirit, we pray. The loving Father, here to restore and heal and lead us on. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. We wait for you now. I believe God wants to bring freedom to us this morning. Freedom from those things that entangle us and restrict us and inhibit us. It's a work only he can do, actually. So come, Lord, and do that work. Bring freedom this morning.